It's good to see every single one of you here this morning. By the way, I am really loving this image. The cross out in front. This is pretty. This is a new thing. We've not done this before with communion, but I'm liking this already. And Scotty, I will move so I can keep an eye on you too, even though can't, but this is good. This is important. It's good to see every one of you. It's no mistake you're here. There's a sovereign timing to our God, movement of our steps, and so I'm just thankful you're here this morning. Not so thankful for this past week. Sometimes God has ways of reorienting us to reality. We live in a certain dream world sometimes, and God reorients us to reality. And that happened to me this past week when I got to visit Karis's, our oldest daughter's kindergarten class. She teaches kindergarten in Loudoun County, and I was her a mystery reader this past week, just Friday actually. And I come in and sit down, and the kids are all around there. And she says, "I have a new mystery reader for you this week. He's right back there." He's in my family or something like that. Who do you think he is? And say it with me. He's my grandpa. Yes. I thought you guys would be tracking with that, so I didn't want to. Yeah. So I'm sitting there, this little fifth grader goes, "Your grandpa?" Oh, and so as I say, God reorients us in our dreams back to reality, and He certainly did that this week in Karis's class. So that was fun. There are four the most beautiful words in the English language. Say them with me as they come up on the screen. Pitchers and catchers report. Yeah, what 9 days. Perry was wondering if I'm a week early, and I'm thinking, how can I ever be early for this? I recognize this is Super Bowl Sunday, so big football, but we can all agree, right, that football is really just a placeholder in between baseball seasons. Is that right? Right. Baseball season ends, and we have to do something, so the placeholder is football for a while, and then we're picking up baseball right kind of at the end. 9 days. 9 days, pitchers and catchers report to most National League teams. So there's hope. Well, if those four words are the most beautiful in the English language, and my, that is the edge. I'm going to step back. I'm kind of being drawn to the cross a little too much. I got to step back here. If those are the four most beautiful words in the English language, these next two words are probably two of the most difficult. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet means that we're waiting. Not yet means that we're in the in-between. Not yet means that there's a lack of resolution, lack of realized peace. It's musically, you're familiar with there's such a thing as a sustained chord, that you play a musical chord and you're waiting. It's sustained and then it's resolved. Well, the not yet is those seasons in our life when we're in between. It's not yet. Sometimes those areas, seasons in our life can be dealing with our finances. There's just this sense of lack. There's just pressure. It's not easy, and you're wondering when will this resolve. Sometimes it's in our marriages, and it's just really hard. We're very much in between the not yet, and we're waiting, we're hoping for resolution. You might even be waiting for marriage. You really would like that. You'd want that, but it hasn't come, and you're waiting for that. The not yet may be with our children. In some way, fashion, or form, there's something of a lack of resolution with our kids, either in their physical health or emotional health, and we're just waiting, or maybe you're waiting for children, and it's not yet. It's very, very difficult. Sometimes it can be physical, not yet, with our health. Some of you are dealing with consistent pain, and it's not relenting, and you are waiting for the resolution. It hasn't come yet. You're in the not yet. It could be spiritually. You are quite frustrated with God. You don't understand what in the world He is up to. And there's not a sense of resolution, and you got major questions, either from physical pain, could be emotional pain. You're dealing with discouragement, and you wonder, will that ever end? You just don't know, and you just you do not know what God is up to, and you're in the not yet. The not yet can be very, very difficult. Unspeakably difficult. Some of the not yets that you're in, you can't even articulate how bad and difficult this is. Words just fail you. When you try to express what you're wrestling with in the not yet, before resolution comes, the words seem to be just really somewhat empty. You're thinking, this is not explaining what's going on in my soul. And these not yet seasons can be not only very, very, very difficult, they can be very, very, very long. So long, it almost feels destructive. You're wondering, what in the world can be going on in this not yet time? So what do we do? Every single one of us in some way, fashion, or form is in the not yet. We're in something of a lack of resolution, a lack of fulfilled, full peace in some respects. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, thankfully, God has not left us wondering. He has been very clear, very explicit in what we're to do in the not yet, and it's simply this: we're to praise Him. We are to praise Him. We are to put Him in the center. We're to get Him big. We're to work at getting Him loud. We're figuring out how to give a holy roar in the midst of our not yet. We're figuring out how God can deepen both our understanding and our minds and our experiences in the whole of our bodies down to the bottom of our souls. How He can deepen our collective understanding together as brothers and sisters. Because we do not walk through the not yets alone. We walk through the not yet seasons together in community. But we're asking God to deepen our understanding and our experience. We want it to touch us emotionally, spiritually, physically. We want that praise to be holistic and important and thorough in our being. And so today in the not yet, we're asking God to help us todah Him. T-O-W-D-A-H. We're asking God to help us understand what it means to praise Him in the Hebrew way of todah. This series that we're walking through right now, we're focusing on seven different Hebrew words in the Old Testament that all describe praise of God. Keep in mind that the Word of God, the Old Testament that we're looking at, and the New Testament, both, are what has been referred to as God-breathed, inspired. Realize, think for a second about the intimacy and the connection when it says that God's Word is God-breathed. How close do you have to be to know something about the breath of someone? There's an intimacy to the Word of God. When the Word of God says it is God-breathed, there's an intimacy, there's a connection. And so these words that God gives us about what praise is to be like from Him are really, really important and helpful. Because God knows us and loves us. And so He says, my friends, my children, grow in what it means to toda me, to praise me. A lot of these words have similarities. Praise in general, Jeff dealt with last week, the importance of music in praise. But one of the nuances of toda is this. It's praise for the not yet. It's praise for the not yet. It's praise in expectancy of what may be coming. It's praise for anticipated resolution. That's one of the nuances of toda. Yes, it does mean, it's a kissing cousin of yada, which is the first word we looked at. And kissing cousin is a very technical Hebrew term, by the way. It's a kissing cousin of yada, which has a strong meaning of to extend the hand. The word yada meant to throw a stone, to cast a stone, to extend the hand. And toda is in fact, if you want to read about toda in a Hebrew lexicon, you don't go to the T's, so to speak. You go to the Y's, so to speak, yada, because toda is actually under yada. It's that close. It doesn't even have its own section in a Hebrew lexicon. It's under yada. So there's a strong aspect of toda that it means extending the hands too. Extending the hands in the season of the not yet, of anticipating God's goodness in the future. One of the best illustrations that I found in the studies is this example of King David. King David had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel. Out of all the brothers of Jesse, none of them worked until they went and got the youngest in the field, and they brought David in. And Samuel, prophet Samuel, said, he's the one. And he anointed David then. And so there was something of a realness about David's kingship then, when he was anointed by Samuel. But the first king wasn't David. In fact, the king at that point in time was Saul. And so Saul was very much king of Israel at that point. And so David had been anointed, but he wasn't king yet. And Saul got very intimidated, very insecure about David's role. And so Saul tried to actually kill David at one point. And so David has to run. And so the scene that we're going to read today, David is on the run. He's in a place called Gath, and the king is Achish, and this is the scene, and the king knows David's has killed thousands upon thousands, and he's really strong and powerful and popular, and this king is also likewise intimidated and afraid, and this is what happens with David and the king in 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. That day David fled from Saul, he's on the run, and he went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, the king, isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And David took these to heart and was very, very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. And so he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, look at that man, he's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here too to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? David's already been anointed king, but he's in this situation, in the not yet. And Psalm 56, you read it in the beginning of the psalm, for the director of music to the tune of a dove on distant oaks of David, a miktam, a form of a very hard to translate term, musical phrase, when the Philistines had seized David in Gath. So David's writing this in the not yet, when he's running from Saul. He is in misery. You're going to hear that word. He is having tears. Many tears. This is when David's writing this. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long, and in their pride many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. You can identify with that, no doubt. And you're not yet. Misery is a pretty descriptive word. Many tears. You know that. You know that in the not yet. And by the way, I wouldn't encourage you to take this anywhere, any way other than quite literally. Tears are recorded by God. I wouldn't argue against a pretty literal translation thinking of that. That your God is aware of every single tear. Every single tear you cry. Every single tear we cry is in his record. Let's not make that an analogy. Let's make that a literal statement. I think it's true. Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to my God. I will present my thank offerings. That's the Hebrew word todah. I will present my todah. So there's not only a praise aspect to todah, a nuance here, but it's a thankfulness. It's a thank offering to God in the middle of our misery, with tears streaming down our faces. We offer thank offerings to God. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling. Was that true right now when David was writing this in this in-between time? Yes and no. Both, yes, he had. He'd been anointed. Kingship was going to happen. But no, he was not experiencing the fullness of that. He was running. After this story, he goes to a cave. He's in a cave after this one. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So what do we do in the not yet? David gives us an example of two things. I think one is that we express thanks. We express thanks. But what David did, we got to keep that sentence going. He expressed thanks for the trustworthiness of God. Three separate times we read in Psalm 56, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. In God I put my trust. And David expressed that. That's important. When we articulate trust, when we vocalize trust in God in the midst of our misery with tears streaming down our face, that is a very right and healthy thing to do. David models that. Express thanks to God. I trust you. in the middle of our misery, in the middle of our tears. We trust you, God. You are completely trustworthy to bring resolution, to bring completion. But here's the key. This is what we trust God for. This is not what we trust our eyes for. What we see, we trust God to bring resolution. Here's the key, in His time and in His way. That's crucial in our trust giving, in our expression of thanksgiving to God, of trust in Him. God, we trust you. We know you are good. We know that. We confess that, even though our eyes don't see that. We don't see that good, and we don't feel that good. But God, we're not going to let our eyes be the final determiners of truth. And we're not going to let our emotions be the final determiners of truth. We are going to trust you. The Bible calls that word, has a word for that, and it's called faith. Because faith is the evidence, the knowledge, the conviction of things that what? We don't see. This is what we're talking about. We are trusting God. We are putting our faith in God. Even though our eyes see one thing and our hearts feel another thing, we say, God, I trust you. You are good. In your time and your way, I will know that. No question. Karis and I were talking about this yesterday morning. Our oldest daughter is Karis. We were talking about this analogy. We just got talking about a vending machine. So this vending machine, this is a good thing, by the way. There's validity to this analogy. Let me just tell you right up front. But a couple nuances. So we see things out there in this vending machine. We see the rows. We see the things. And there's things that are good in there and we want. And God knows that. And He says, so let me know. Tell me what you want. You don't have because you don't ask. Come to me, ask, pray, seek me for these things, these good things that you want. That's good. That's not bad. But the key thing to this vending machine, God's vending machine, is there is no place for money. You can look all over that machine. There is no place to put in your money. Because that's not how it works with God. We don't buy Him. We don't put our dollars in, push some buttons, and then expect Him to do what we, at that point in time. We don't put money in. But there is a place to speak. There's a place that when we speak to God about our desires in this vending machine, He hears us. So I think one of three options happens when we speak to God about these good things in our life that we want. These places of resolution where we're feeling in the not yet. God, would you please bring resolution, peace, healing? Please do that. That's a good thing. We're asking for that. Sometimes we ask for that, and all of a sudden we're looking at the one we want, and all of a sudden it starts to move. Yes, right when we ask, it moves, and it drops down, and we go, yay! And that's a good thing. Sometimes God does answer. He gives us what we want when we ask for it. Sometimes in a very supernatural, miraculous way, we ask for healing. And sometimes He does it right then and right there. And He can. And sometimes He does. But sometimes we speak to Him, we ask, and we have this thing in mind. And we're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But then finally, it moves and it comes down after a really long time. God calls us to be faithful in prayer in that time. That was Karis. Cindy and I asked for a child for 9 years. 9 years we stood in front of that vending machine asking God for a child. 9 years. And then finally, oh yeah, Karis, woo! Got her out of that slot, a little tricky, but came out. How long did it take? Like 20 20, how many hours, honey? 20 some hours it took to get her out of that slot. But but the third time, the third thing that may happen is we may stand at that vending machine and say, God, I really want this. And we ask and we wait and we pray. Long, really long time, and our eyes are fixed up here, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, after a really long time, this row starts moving. And all of a sudden, this drops down. And that was Anna. That's Anna. It's not what we were thinking. 9 years after Karis came, we asked God for another baby. 9 years we asked him for another baby. This one didn't move. This one did. And it was Anna. It's a good thing, right? Different. Not what we were expecting, but good. So sometimes God doesn't answer when we ask or what we initially ask for. But he is good. And he will answer. And he will bring resolution in his time and in his way. And we can trust him for that. But I want to draw on Jeff's message from last week just a little bit. Jeff's word last week, Zamar, really focused on the importance of music in this whole process. Because, see, one of the areas you and I really wrestle in the middle of the not yet is maybe not so much the knowledge part. Yes, we would affirm, we know this. We really wrestle with our emotions. It hurts. Emotionally, it's very, very difficult to wait. And Jeff reminded us last week of God's word, Zamar, is music touches us in those places in a very important way. So I encourage you to listen to Jeff's message if you weren't here last week and incorporate music in your worship in a more, because that really helps the emotions. But secondly, David modeled for us expressing thank you, saying the words, God, I thank you, vocalizing those, very important. But he also, I'm guessing, because of the word, because David was a thoroughly Jewish man, I'm guessing more than likely David was extending his hands. Because in his mind, when he todad, God gave him thanks for what was not yet happening, there's a better than even chance his hands were extended. Because David was wired by God, just like you and I are wired by God. Our souls, our spirits, and our bodies are all connected. That's why there's a foundational verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. That was directly going against the heresy of the day that started to disconnect the spirit from the body. It's called the Gnostic heresy. And it was prevalent in the New Testament days. That's not right. The truth of God is that our physical and our spiritual are intertwined. They're connected. This quote from C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters. I'm doing this just to get points from Jeff Howard, by the way. He loves Screwtape Letters. Screwtape is the head devil. And he's speaking to one of his minions, Wormwood. And he says this. People, this is us, this is from our enemy, we constantly forget what you, Wormwood, you must remember. They're animals, and whatever their bodies do affects their souls. It's true. Not because C.S. Lewis said it, because God said it in Romans 12, 1. What we do with our bodies affects our souls, so that when we extend our hands, it affects our soul. It helps, especially if we don't feel like extending our hands. Sometimes we extend our hands and God backfills that act, that physical act, with what he is up to. That happened this morning. I share with you regularly, Sunday mornings are challenging for me, emotionally, physically, a lot of ways. Sunday mornings are difficult. So I'm sitting at my desk this morning thinking, if I'm going to preach this, I'm going to do this. First time ever. I sat at my desk before and I raised my hands. in the quietness of my study, and I read Psalm 56. And it was good. It was important for my soul to do that. So I think in, well, we tie hands because it's good, it's important. A couple things that, why we extend hands, it helps our souls, it touches our, but it also is this, it's a very tangible expression of trust. When we extend our hands, especially Todah, when we don't have what we're looking for in this period of lack of resolution, we say, God, I trust you. So would you stand for just a second? You'll be able to sit back down in just a moment. Just stand. I'd like you to imagine this. Andrew and Juliana Bell. Juliana, Andrew work with our students. Juliana's our, they have a little girl named Hannah. Hannah is a little over one. So let's imagine Andrew is here, and Juliana is there with Hannah. And so you're Hannah. We're Hannah. All right? You're Hannah. You got that, Scotty? Yeah, we're Hannah. So imagine you're running to Andrew. Move your feet. Get in on this. You're Hannah. You're running to your dad. Andrew does this, and you show me. What do? There you go. There you go. You can sit down. Hannah is expressing trust in her father. That's why Todah is connected with raising hands. It's an expression of trust. Father, pick me up. I may not have all the answers. You may not tell me all the answers, but I trust you. And God in his sovereignty, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what we would do without the sovereignty of God in the smallest details of our lives. Brought us to the cross, to communion, to thinking about the cross, the day that we were thinking about the not yet. Because the cross is the epitome of the not yet. Yes, Jesus said, it is finished. It's true. It was finished. But he wasn't resurrected yet. It is finished. But resurrection's coming. And that's what the cross is all about. Shelley's going to come. Mary's going to come. The worship team's going to come up right now. Shelley's going to explain a little bit of what we think would be helpful, possibly for you, if you choose to jump in on this, as we come to the cross and the not yet seasons of our day. And then Mary's going to explain another extension of that trust, act of trust, that we hope you find helpful and important.
So today, communion's going to be a little different. We're going to have a few different activities, which will be really, really fun, I think. So one of the things that you'll have the opportunity to do if you choose is we're going to be passing out these cards and pens. And if you want to, when Pastor Jeff was talking about the not yet, if something jumped immediately to mind, you can write that down on the card. And when you come up for communion, you can offer it up to the Lord in the basket. And don't worry, nobody's going to be reading them or going through them. It's completely anonymous and private. And we'll do this as an act of trust in the Lord, offering up your not yet to the Lord. Maybe something didn't immediately come to mind, which maybe you're in just a beautiful place where you're feeling blessed and... but I want to challenge you, there might be something that you're putting your trust in that's not the best. Maybe something that you think will bring you happiness that really won't when it all boils down to it. Because our source of happiness, of fulfillment, of contentment has to be right here in Christ alone. You know, just take some time. We're going to be singing, actually, that song, In Christ Alone, in a few minutes. So take some time to think through if there's something that the Lord is putting on your heart that you need to give up to him, that you need to offer him, that you need to trust him with in your life. Acknowledging that he knows best. He is in control. Because we also have to acknowledge that even if our not yets come to pass, if that vending machine, drops down and we get exactly what we asked for, even that will not bring lasting contentment and joy and peace. It has to be in the Lord. If God cures me of cancer, I will be grateful. That would be a wonderful blessing. But even that will not bring lasting fulfillment and contentment and joy. It has to be from the Lord in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pass out the cards. And so I encourage you, just take your time. Also with communion today, it's going to be a little different. So I know a lot of times we jump up and get in line, and but take your time today. I mean, you're welcome to jump up and get going right away. But if you want to sit for a while and think through these things that we've been hearing today, I encourage you to do that. We'll keep communion going as long as we need to today. And so next up is the lovely Mary.
Yes. And so another part of communion that we're going to be doing, in addition to having our notes that we can put at the foot of the cross, I want to speak to potentially another part of our hearts. And sometimes the not yet is extremely vulnerable, and it can be extremely difficult to even sit in the not yet, to let our hearts go there in expectation that the Lord will meet us, to todah and be thankful and praise him in the not yet, that sometimes there's such tender parts of our hearts, such things that we've been waiting for so long, that it's hard to even write it down on that card this morning. And I want to encourage us that if that's us, I want to speak courage and say, borrow my hope for you. Borrow my hope that we will see Jesus in those situations, that we will see him as powerful and caring and loving as we todah together, as we sing in Christ alone, that even in those things that come to mind but are just so tender and so painful that it's like I can't even write it down on that card, that I think that there's things in my heart that it's just like, Lord, I don't even want to admit that I'm in the not yet, because the expectation even is so difficult. And so borrow my hope that as we orientate ourselves around the cross, not the likelihood of something happening, not the statistics of something happening, but in the orientation that God is able. And even in those things that maybe we have accepted as permanent, that this situation will never change, I want to encourage us to say, in Christ alone, I'm not going to accept that permanence, but put my hope in Christ, that even though it's been 10, 20, 30 years, even though the statistics say this or that, even though it's so painful, yet I still will todah. And to hear the community, us church, sing in Christ alone, we can borrow each other's hopes. So as we take communion, as we come to the cross, we also will be handing out seeds. And I think seeds and gardening is such a wonderful thing to hold as we todah, as we wait in the not yet, as we plant these seeds and we wait and we water and we praise. And so as after you take communion and come to the cross, Cody and I will be standing in these corners, and you can come and filter and take a seed. And as we worship through our set and sing, I want us to hold these seeds in our hands to offer it as to the Lord of, this is my hope and not yet. That you are working, you are the good gardener, and we can hope. So we are now going to sing in Christ alone, and feel free to stand, to sit, to reflect, and to wait. And after, in Christ alone, we'll be taking communion together.
my light, my soul.